You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
At 3:03, we welcome you into the gym class for this Monday on KGYM, 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and Jim OT, 107.5 FM. Check out the terrific programming we have available for you on the Jim OT, and you can do that by going to our website at kgymradio.com. Our program, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour with the gym class, is presented by Hennings Financial, your retirement rollover specialist. They are a Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm focused on your retirement journey. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. To find out more, you can go to our website at kgymradio.com and read up on everything there is with our good friends at Hennings Financial Incorporated, presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Scott Udash with you here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. And I am very proud to say Buttons back on the other side of the glass and ready to go today after his 2 weeks of containment, if you will, and everything is A-okay, right? A-okay, right? Buttons, no problems. We're good. Okay. His quarantine is over. Ready to go. So that's great to see him back over there. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well. Hope you're doing good, Scott. Welcome back, Buttons. Good to have you back. Glad you're well. And ready to go this week.
Ready to go. Got a good week of shows planned for you here on KGYM on the gym class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Today, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com college football reporter, is going to be joining us, and plenty to talk about, even though there is no spring football going on. What's the latest as far as what everybody knows as far as the plans for college football? Lots of things to talk about and discuss, and we will do that with Adam coming up in just a little bit. And looking forward to talking a little bit of football with you here today. We got a big football week because the NFL draft is going to go on starting on Thursday, and by golly, we'll have it for you right here on KGYM starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday night with coverage of round number one, and then we'll have coverage of round number two starting at 6 o'clock on Friday evening as well, round two and round three, and then rounds four, five, six, and seven on Saturday. That will be starting at 11 o'clock. You can hear the entirety of the NFL draft right here from ESPN Radio on KGYM. And we talked to Dan Shanka last Thursday. We had a really good discussion with him, Mark, and great to see J.R. Ogden with a nice piece in the Cedar Rapids Gazette today about our friend from Our Lad Scouting Service.
Yeah, and we haven't really given his wife Peggy enough credit either. She's been with him all along, and it's been a great partnership with those two. And Dan, really looking forward to this week. I think a lot of people are, Scott, something to sink their teeth into. It's not actual competition, but the NFL draft is always popular. It's going to be different this year. It's going to be done virtually, and found it interesting today. The NFL had a rehearsal with the teams, kind of a mock draft, and they experienced some technical issues. And I think you and I would agree that we expect there's going to be an issue or two during the course of this draft. But my reaction is, come on, you got to put your best technical people on this and make it as good as possible. And it's probably a good thing they went through the rehearsal today to potentially work out any bugs. But again, I think people are ready to sink their teeth into something that's real and substantial, and even though it's not competition.
They are. And I will say this to piggyback what you said about their rehearsal today. Folks, this is not going to be perfect. And I know that most of Twitter is just out there waiting to hop on Roger Goodell and just bring him down for the littlest, most minute thing on Thursday night or Friday night or Saturday, whenever it'll be. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to be on mute making their announcement. It's going to be by accident. Show of hands out there, unless you can't do it right now. But how many people have done that? I've done that on a meeting online over the last 5.5 weeks or so. It doesn't mean you're less of a person or anything like that. And I just have this feeling that most of the people out there are just waiting to jump on Roger Goodell in the NFL for having something go wrong in the virtual NFL draft on Thursday. It's not going to be perfect. And, you know, if it is, if it's not perfect, who cares?
Yeah, that would be unfortunate should the NFL get a lot of criticism for this. We're going to have to see how it plays out. What we don't want to see happen is something along the lines of Chase Elliott and what happened with him, the NASCAR driver, who's kind of out of a career right now for what he said. And I don't think that will happen. But you always welcome the opportunity for something like that. But hopefully, again, NFL able to work through the technical issues today, identify them. You know, it could be on the club's end too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll see. And I think by Thursday, it'll be as good as it possibly can be. At least I hope so.
319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. Wiggy welcoming back Buttons on the text line, too. Thank you, Wiggy. Buttons thanks you as well. And you can reach us via the text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is also the phone line as well. Same number, 319-366-1600. 1600. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I know that a lot of people, I think, were out and in their yards getting things done. Maybe that first cutting of the grass heard a lot of people cutting the grass in the neighborhood over the weekend. So maybe if you did that, then you're already one step ahead of me. I've had to get we've got an issue with the mower right now. You know, I like to keep everybody apprised of all of the motorized equipment that I have in the garage. You know, he had the snowblower for many years. It didn't run until we got a new one. Now it's fine. And right now the riding lawn tractor is not responding the way it should. So, and I really don't want to push it. Not that.
Well, I for one will be following your updates. My suggestion to you is all else hire it out like I do.
I enjoy mowing the lawn, though. I really do.
I used to, but you know what? I think it's overrated.
Now I may have a beverage, and I do have a cup holder on my lawnmower. Oh, that got Button's attention over there. You got to have that. You got to have a cup holder. Yeah, he can relate to that. So, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But I miss
it. It's therapy for a lot of people, isn't it?
It's therapeutic to be out there with nature and doing all that stuff. So there you go. That's my therapeutic thought of the day. 319-366-1600. David and Hudson weighing in on probably what was the highlight of the weekend. Everybody's Michael crazy. How about the Bulls documentary? Fantastic. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. Full disclosure for yours truly is that, well, I respect the heck out of Michael Jordan, and I think he's the best basketball player that ever graced this planet. He was not my favorite basketball player of all time, and I was not a Chicago Bulls fan. So I can, you know, I tuned in a couple times last night. I think you tuned in a couple times last night, Mark.
Yeah, I did, and I said from the beginning, I can't commit myself to 10 hours of much of anything. And the thing about it is, while I think the behind-the-scenes video is cool, not only in this, but anything behind the scenes, I think is really, really cool. I did dip in and out of it because I know people would be talking about it today. We'd be touching on it. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, it was okay. I mean, we all knew Jerry Krause was a bumbling fool anyway, right? I mean, I didn't learn anything there. And the Dean Smith loved Michael Jordan, and maybe the some teams wouldn't have taken Jordan with the overall number one pick, and those things were not new to me. And frankly, I'm not going to be the best person to comment on this documentary because I don't think I'm going to be watching it wire to wire. For one thing, you and I lived through it. We saw Jordan. Yep. We saw him battle with the Pistons and battle with the Lakers, and read all the stories about when Jordan was playing. And, you know, I played with Bob Hansen and BJ Armstrong and a couple of former Iowa basketball players. And we knew all along about the Scottie Pippen situation and how he went away. You know, they were paying people a lot of money in 1997. I mean, not only Jordan, but I think Phil Jackson was making about $6 million.
Oh, sure.
And they were putting out a lot of money. But I know people are going to watch this, and that's well and good. I, you know, won't criticize. I'm looking more forward to the NFL draft than I was The Last Dance. Let me put it that way.
I am as well, and I get it, and that's fine. And, you know, more power to you. I'm just not going to spend 10 hours probably watching it. I'll watch some, and I did watch a little bit last night. But, yeah, that's. I think you said it absolutely perfectly. And it, like David said on the text line, it is well done. It is absolutely fantastic, and ESPN is putting a lot. There's a reason why. There are several reasons why they bumped this thing up to the debut it had last night, and one of them was ESPN's just – ratings-wise, not doing very well right now without sports. They need it, and it's very well done. They're putting a lot of eggs into this basket as far as the Bulls documentary and the Jordan documentary is concerned. So that's fantastic. It's fantastic. Go ahead.
Are we bad people for not being fully on board with this? You know, are we? We're sports talk co-hosts. Maybe some people think we ought to be all in on this, but I don't have to be. I want to be aware of it. I want to be aware of what people are thinking, but I don't think we're bad people because we're not totally into it, are we?
I don't think so. 64-29 commenting on it. I didn't know how criminally underpaid Scottie Pippen was, seeing how dysfunctional the Bulls front office has been the past few years. Explains how Jerry Krause stuck around after he dismantled a dynasty. Now, keep in mind that after Jordan's departure, Pippen was supposed to be the heir apparent, and things didn't. Scottie was a really good. What is that? You get the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress. Mm-hmm. Pippen was really good at Best Supporting Actor. He wasn't true terrific as the lead actor in a movie or a team. Keep that in mind. But yes, Pippen underpaid, though, for much of his career as far as the Chicago Bulls are concerned. And it's, you know, as a White Sox fan, I know of where the Bulls are because it kind of leaked over to some semblances of the Chicago White Sox as well. Of course, with Mr. Reinsdorf, et cetera, running the show a little bit. 17 past three. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly said that Pippen was a very good understudy. And I think he came out of somewhere like Central Arkansas, something yes. like that. And he was just what Jordan needed. And Pippen was Pippen needed. And when Michael retired, it was not the same situation for Scottie Pippen by any means.
We're going to talk with the Chicago man, Adam Rittenberg. We'll do that, talk a little college football with Adam in just a little bit. We'll talk some more about the documentary from last night as well. And I also wanted to talk about a neat story that occurred over the weekend. We're going to touch upon, we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. As the big story around the state today as far as the coronavirus is concerned is the fact that the RAGBRAI experience will not happen this summer. And now I think that is... See, I'm not a bike riding aficionado either, so I don't know if it's the new ride or RAGBRAI, but the one that is titled RAGBRAI is called off for this year. That is that was made official earlier on today here in the state of Iowa. So not to be fully unexpected, and like we said, it won't be the last thing that's going to be postponed as far as life in our neck of the woods is concerned. So stay tuned for more of that, if you will. PGA Tour still planning a start in mid-June, and we'll see how that plays out. And thought over the weekend we need to get a hold of our golfing friend Bob Herrig pretty soon to talk a little bit about that, Mark. So we may have to do that in the next couple of weeks.
I would agree. And one of the other big stories that transpired the last 24 hours was former Hawkeye Cordell Pimsel.
Yes.
Going to play a graduate transfer year at Virginia Tech. Were you surprised about that?
Yes, I was. But good for Cordell, because they've got a one-year master's degree in the field he wants to go into. Check that box off. Check off the box. He might be able to play. He will be able to play a little bit more. Virginia Tech was a little bit down last year from where they were under Buzz Williams after he left, but just I think a shade under 500 in the ACC, maybe a chance to play a little bit more down in Blacksburg, and good for him. He's looking at his future.
Yeah, and I look back on his recruitment, and Virginia Tech wasn't even on the radar. It was Pimsel had three offers: Iowa, Creighton, and Northern Iowa. And perhaps because he was so strong on Iowa that he didn't receive more offers. I don't know. And in reading some of the stories about his selection on Virginia Tech, he had a lot of options. There was like 15 or 16 schools that expressed interest, everything from Cincinnati to Drake to New Mexico State and many, many others. So he wasn't without options, but it's a chance to play in the ACC, get some exposure, play against high level of competition, and don't know whether he'll play that much more. I'm not familiar with Virginia Tech's program other than the fact that they were, just around 500 last year overall and under 500 in the ACC. But if you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was November 2017, that Iowa went to Virginia Tech, and Pimsel had one of his better games against Virginia Tech. He had 14 rebounds and 6 assists in that game, and I think 6 or 8 points as well. Whether the folks at Virginia Tech remember that, I don't know. But you look back on that game, and arguably one of Pimsel's better games in his career.
319-366-1600. And we're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up in a moment. We'll talk a little bit more about Cordell Pimsel as well. On the text line, 6429, Scotty arguably could have been the MVP in the 93-94 season. He averaged 22 points a game, as I looked up just a moment ago during that year, without Michael. And yeah, could have been. Could have been. And the Bulls would have taken that year throughout the non-Jordan years with Scotty. Scotty was not a bad basketball player. I'm not saying he's a bad basketball player. Just
he's a very good basketball player.
Absolutely. But I'm not sure that he was as good as the Bulls thought he would be when Jordan left. So that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying about that. We'll talk a little bit more about it, get your thoughts about the documentary as well. We're going to take a break, come back. Adam Rittenberg is going to join us from ESPN, and we will talk some college football with you right after this. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by Hennings Financial here on KGYM.
Yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Zupacca was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day that I did actually walk in the door, I had a really good credit score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about it and I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the business loan to setting up the LLC, and then the insurance of the business as well too. Zupacca really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community here within Soul Revolution, and honestly, we could not have done that without the help and support of Zupacca. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at tobacco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
At Network Computer Solutions, we understand these are unprecedented times. First, we hope you and your family are well. And second, we want you to know we are here and will continue to offer IT support. If you need remote access to your office, we can assist with that. We will be taking all recommended precautions to keep our employees safe and will provide remote assistance whenever possible. Call us at Network Computer Solutions, 319-247-7223.
Economic stimulus payments will be hitting your bank account soon. In fact, nearly $200 million will be coming to area households. You might need that money for rent, mortgage, utilities, even food. But if you don't, KGYM encourages you to think of the thousands of local businesses being impacted right now. Waiting to spend those dollars at your favorite place when we're all on the move again? That'll be a huge boost for them and our economy. If you don't need it for necessities, save your stimulus and shop locally. It could mean millions of dollars for the corridor.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We are back at 3:26 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark, you gave 1288 a little bit of a shock, and it went right over my head. You said Chase Elliott got in trouble. It was Kyle Larson who got in trouble.
Indeed. And, I was going to correct myself on that one when we came back, but thank you very much, 1288.
Chase Elliott fan, and he thought something else happened bad over the weekend. Landon got fourth.
Yeah.
Landon got fourth, and other than that, there really was no controversy yesterday as far as their virtual racing is concerned. So good for Landon and good for everyone that we made it through a weekend without any controversy on virtual racing from NASCAR out there. Gonna shift from that to college football. College football senior writer for ESPN. That is Adam Rittenberg, our friend joining us here on the program. And Adam, good to talk with you. Hopefully you're nice and healthy, and everybody around you is as well.
Same, guys. Good to be on with you.
Well, we should be in a normal state talking about spring football right now, and we are talking everything but spring football, and that includes Kirk Ferentz as well as Matt Campbell, who have been on teleconferences so far this year, but not really talking about X's and O's at this point.
No, they're not, and it's a common thing to see coaches doing these calls, and nobody really has answers, but you know, they're trying to certainly make the best of an unprecedented situation as far as not being with their teams, not being around their coaches on a daily basis, and really not knowing when they're going to be back together again. to try to get ready for a season in the fall, a season in the spring, no season at all. Those are all possibilities because we just don't know where we'll be at even in a few months. So yeah, it's a tough position for, you know, guys that, as you know, like to be in control, have to be leaders of a large group, a large team. And I think they're just trying to do the best they can to lead and guide when they don't have many answers right now.
Yeah, Adam, I think they're, I totally agree with you. There's so much uncertainty out there. Nobody has the clearest of crystal balls to look down the road. I guess we're all looking for voices of reason, and I don't know who those people would be right now, but I know Mike Pence met with leaders, commissioners of leagues, and I thought some important statements came out of that meeting.
Sure, sure. Well, I think, again, I think the understanding maybe more from the government side that, you know, college sports are a little bit different than pro sports. I know that, you know, baseball has thrown out the possibility of basically assembling their entire operation in a state where they can, you know, control where people go and where games are played and doing that. I mean, you know, some of those models just aren't realistic for colleges. And, you know, one thing that's been pretty clear, you know, in talking to quite a few administrators and coaches and commissioners in the last few weeks is that, you know, this thing's not going to get going until these campuses are open. You know, there's no way that, you know, college football teams are going to be sequestered to play a season, even in empty stadiums, when the campuses themselves are not reopened to all students. So I think that's just important to get communicated that, you know, the college sports, as valuable as it is, as lucrative as it is, as important as it is to many parts of the country, including in the state of Iowa, you know, it's different. It's not the pro game, and it's going to be harder in some ways to reconvene safely for everybody.
Adam, I think that
let me follow up on that, because Adam, as you know, in sports and in everything, every state's going to be different. And again, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 3-4 months, but University of Wyoming may well be just fine to have school, have a football season, whereas some other state and maybe many others are not ready. So, I mean, you're going to have unanimity in terms of getting schools back in session and the football season underway, aren't you?
At least a sanctioned season, Mark. I mean, I think the one possibility no one's really talking about, which, again, I could see happening, is if you don't have all teams in the league that are able to do that and go ahead with the season, is there some type of unsanctioned season that happens where you have those who are able to play each other, but it's obviously not a complete your league schedule. It's not a complete national schedule, because one thing everyone's told me, not surprisingly, is, you know, we need national decisions as to when we can even start practicing again. It can't be unfair that some schools are able to start training even if they're back in session while others are not. So I think it's going to be very difficult, and that's why I think that this is going to be pushed out quite a ways until we have at least a national, okay, here everybody can start training, and then here's the date where we can start playing one another. But to your point, because some states are going to open earlier than others, some campuses are going to open earlier than others, you know, maybe there will be a very different season, almost an unsanctioned type of season. That's the only solution to a very unusual problem.
Well, to piggyback upon that, Adam Rittenberg joining us from ESPN here on the Friday or Monday edition, I should say, of the Gym Class on KGYM. There's been some talk of different scenarios. Playing the season as is great. That's the best one. Playing the season in the fall, but maybe only playing conference games. And then there's also the talk by some of just moving the whole kit and caboodle to next February into May anyway. I don't know. I guess talk about the latter two a little bit. Is it even possible to play a spring sports football schedule and then turn around and play a fall football schedule?
Well, you know, it is, but it opens up a different can of problems. You know, there's the logistics to it of, you know, our Stats and Info put out a nugget a couple of weeks ago that, you know, college football has not been played between February and July since the 19th century. So that there's, you know, there's a sort of unprecedented nature of it. And then you have, you know, the logistics of putting those that sport amid all the other, you know, typical winter and spring sports, especially the college basketball tournaments, all the spring sports and their championships, there would be overlap there. And then you're dealing with a different set of health and safety concerns, presuming that we have everything, you're relatively under control with the COVID-19 pandemic. You're right now, that's the primary concern of all these administrators and coaches. But then if you push the season to the spring and still have another season in fall 21, you're talking about if you have two full seasons, a minimum of 24 games in a 10-month span, and then you add in bowl games, championship games, and the playoff, you're pushing 30 games for the top teams in a 10-month span. So that's a different health and safety issue. So do you make those two seasons shorter? Are they 8-game seasons, 10-game? You know, so like those are the problems that you're dealing with, as well as the NFL timeline, as well as the entire college schedule being changed around because they're typically not playing games at that time of year. So you know that is looked at as a last resort by many, because if it's that season or no season, I think they prefer to have a season, but it's certainly less than ideal, even though a spring season buys us some more time from a medical standpoint and from a safety standpoint. I can't imagine that colleges are still going to be closed in the spring, whereas some could still be closed in the fall nationally. And so, you know, that may be the only way to have a truly national season, guys.
Adam, let me play worst case scenario. Let's say the 2020 season doesn't happen. Would that not be the ruination or close to the ruination of college sports programs in general in some places?
In some places, absolutely. It would be very difficult for pretty much every Group of Five school. It would be difficult for some of the lower level Power Five schools that don't have, you know, tremendous reserves. I think in the Big Ten, Nebraska is the only school that has a really substantial reserve in case, you know, they're not bringing in money from football. I know Ohio State has about a $10 million reserve that they're going to use to cover, you know, the projected losses, at least for now, in the next fiscal year. But it's not as though these schools operate with tons. And I mean, we all know about the money in college sports, but it's not as though they have, you know, tens of millions of dollars left over in case something like this happens and a season were to be canceled. So it would absolutely result in massive cutting of sports. We already saw Cincinnati cut its men's soccer program last week. I think we're going to see many more of those reductions, especially at the Group of Five level. As far as your programs, then their viability, just as a program, I think that would come into question for sure if there's no football.
Yeah, Adam, we saw that with Jamie Pollard. He was kind of the first athletic director to really come out there and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Did that a few weeks ago. We're going to have cuts across the board for our head coaches and our assistant coaches. We're also going to have no raises this year, no incentives. We're going to keep all the prices the same, and you can put it on a plan. You got to think that we're going to see more of that, and you got to think that every athletic department pretty much has that plan in the back of their minds at this point.
No doubt, but an important point to make, and this is something that several athletic directors told me, mostly on background recently. Everybody talks about the salaries of the high-paid coaches, the football coach's salary and the basketball coach's salary, even the athletic director's salary. Let's reduce those, and that's going to save us a ton of money. That line item, guys, does not compare to the operating costs for sports that are guaranteed to lose money. And as you guys know, a lot of these programs, especially in the Power Five, have a lot of sports that are guaranteed to lose money every year. And those sports operate at a huge losses in some cases because they're recruiting internationally, because of realignment, their travel costs are high. There's just, you know, facilities, staffing. There's a lot of different items that go into those sports, which are guaranteed to lose millions and millions of dollars. And so that's why, again, this unfortunate situation could put a spotlight on a system that it was just hard to sustain, I think, long term anyway, even with all the money from television revenue. It's just it's an odd model college sports is in many ways, where you have these two or three sports in some cases that make all the money, and then these other sports are just there to have them, you know, from Title IX purposes or just to have your sports because we like those sports, but they don't pay for themselves at all. And so that's what I think this situation is going to really magnify.
Adam, if we have a season, what type of team do you think Iowa will have?
I think they'll be a good team. I think defensively, you see what Phil Parker has done year in and year out. They're always going to be solid on that side of the ball. I think offensively, there's certainly some question marks at quarterback with a new quarterback there. But I like what they have coming back on the offensive line. Coy Cronk was a nice addition from a graduate transfer standpoint, 3-year starter at Indiana coming to Iowa. So it should be solid on the O-line. I love the young running back they had who stepped up at times last year when he was given the opportunity from Georgia. So I think that they're a team that's going to be right in the mix for the West Division as we'd expect Iowa to be in many years. So I think it should be a solid Iowa team with a chance to be a really good one in a fairly wide open West Division in the Big Ten.
Last year, Minnesota was the team that jumped out. A lot of people liked them. Some people did not. Is there a team, at least without spring football, to fall back on that you kind of have your eye on that might make a little noise in the West next year?
Well, I think there's a couple of teams that could certainly improve. I think Minnesota will be very good again, along with Iowa, Wisconsin. Those are probably your top three teams. I think Nebraska certainly has an opportunity to improve, especially if they can get better on defense. You look at Northwestern; they've been an 8 or 9 win team. Or 10 wins sometimes, about 4 or 5 years of that. And then they fell off sharply, mainly because they were just a disaster at quarterback. If they add Peyton Ramsey, a familiar name for Big Ten fans, started a few seasons at Indiana, and think they could bounce back. And Purdue, it was just a series of things that went wrong for them, including injuries. So I think Purdue, Northwestern, and Nebraska could all have better seasons next year.
Adam, you want to change gears a little bit. You went through an exercise with some of your ESPN colleagues, and all of you opined your favorite players of the 1980s. And I had fun reading it. I really did. Barry Sanders, Deion Sanders, Herschel Walker, and others all got mentioned. And you went with Brian Bosworth. And I have to tell you, Adam, I was covering Iowa State in about 1980 or so, and there was a game at Iowa State. And after the game, the Iowa State fans, and I'm not exaggerating, formed a human tunnel from the field to the building where the lockers were so they could get a glimpse at Brian Bosworth. And I remember asking Barry Switzer after the game in the hallway, "What do you think about this whole Bosworth craze?" And he said, just looked at me and smiled and said, "It's pretty cool, huh?" Why'd you pick Bosworth?
Yeah, it's interesting for me. I didn't really get into college football, guys, until the early 90s when I was living out in California in Pac-12 country. That was sort of my introduction. So I thought to myself, what did I know about the sport in the 80s? Who was a player who resonated for me, who grew up mainly a pro sports fan on the East Coast, not really following college football? And I knew about Brian Bosworth, and he was a guy that had a brand. And I thought it was even more interesting that he wasn't a quarterback. You knew about the quarterbacks and the running backs, and there were certainly plenty of those guys in that decade who were spotlighted in our piece today. But I thought about, who was a guy that I knew? And his name immediately came to mind. I know he was a controversial player, but also a great player for Oklahoma. And, we're talking now so much about, players getting paid and players building their brands and being more recognizable, even though they're still at the college level. Brian Bosworth was that guy for Oklahoma in the mid to late 80s. And so, I've enjoyed kind of learning more about him. But even as just a casual sports fan, not really into college football, he was a name that I knew. So that was I wanted to pick him before anybody else got a chance to.
I was there that day, and I still feel bad for Alex Espinoza, the Iowa State quarterback. Hey, before we let you go, Adam, I did want to ask you about the transfer situation. Are we going to see one free transfer for every college athlete coming soon?
I think so. It certainly headed in that direction. I don't think you would see the momentum and the things that were said by John Steinbrecher, the MAC commissioner, his group looking at just the transfer process. I don't think those things are said and supported by so many leagues and athletic directors if we're not going to get an exemption that's approved nationally. Now, I know a lot of coaches are against it, and I understand their arguments against it, but I think there's enough momentum, especially in light of the the name, image, and likeness discussion and paying athletes discussion, that this is a concession that I think the college sports community is going to give, because the waiver process that was really spotlighted last year with some high profile waivers getting approved, other players not being approved. I think there's a lot of confusion about what type of waiver you need to get approval. And so I think taking that element out of it one time for players and saying, listen, you can do this once and you just can't do it again. And it's going to create some headaches for some, but I think it's also going to be really good for players.
All right. Very good. Hey, Adam, all the best. Stay healthy to you and yours. And we're hoping, fingers crossed, we get to talk some college football this fall.
Yeah, same here, Mark and Scott. Appreciate it. Hope you guys stay safe.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Adam Rittenberg,
thanks,
give him a follow on Twitter. And Adam, of course, with ESPN. And you can, as soon as I find it here, at ESPN Rittenberg. That is his Twitter handle, at ESPN Rittenberg. Does a terrific job for ESPN's college football. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you after this here on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
It's fine if you don't feel fine right now. You're allowed to feel worried or afraid. But if your worry or fear has taken you to a dark place you can't see yourself climbing out of, it's time to talk. There are people available right now at Foundation 2. They're great listeners. Just call 319-362-2174. Or if you'd rather text, no problem, go to yourlifeiowa.org and start a conversation. At KGYM, we care about you now and always.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Introducing a new podcast, ESPN Daily, hosted by me, Mina Kimes. When you want to go beyond your feed, when you want to get inside the score, when you want to get behind the highlight, there's ESPN Daily. Go deeper into the stories of the moment. Get the exclusive access and insider perspective that only ESPN can give you. The best sports story all day, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week. ESPN Daily. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Pros. Lowe's stores are here to help keep your business moving forward so you can get the things you need, like plumbing and electrical supplies. Plus, we have the replacement appliances for any properties you manage, because we know you're still making repairs to keep people's homes running smoothly at this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to job site delivery, you can count on us every day. We're pro ready and here for you.
Back with you at 3:47 here on the Gym Class for Monday on KGYM. Our thanks to Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com college football writer, senior writer, for joining us on the program. If you missed our talk with Adam, we'll have it up for you on our podcast. You can just go to our website at kgymradio.com and listen into it one more time. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Buttons here across the way as we come during a 3 o'clock edition here on this Monday. Should mention, we mentioned Cordell Pemsel earlier on, Mark, but also from the weekend as far as University of Iowa news is concerned, good news for both Kathleen Doyle and Michael Kemmerer for different reasons. Kathleen Doyle selected Friday night by the Indiana Fever in the WNBA draft. So she will try to make a roster spot with the Fever. And then Michael Kemmerer awarded another year of eligibility by the NCAA over the weekend.
Yeah, as far as Doyle goes, that was very exciting news for her and her family. I saw some videos of the celebration in the Doyle home. And, you know, and if she can make that Indiana roster, that's only a couple, 3 hours drive from their home in Illinois. And I know Doyle and the Iowa women's basketball family very excited about that. And then as far as Kemmerer goes, this was not COVID-19 related. It was related to a medical situation that Kemmerer had. He will get a sixth year. And it's just, and it was kind of expected or hoped. But now Iowa's going to have 9 All-Americans in the lineup next year for that wrestling team that could have and probably should have and probably would have won the NCAA championship had those that meet not been canceled. But good for Kemmerer, good for the Iowa program. And I would add that over the weekend, the National Wrestling Coaches Association announced All-Americans in Division I wrestling. And despite not having the competition, I think that was really cool to recognize those wrestlers that I think was based on seeds, something like that, going into the tournament. But I thought that was a great thing to do.
Yeah, it was. And good for Iowa wrestling and good for Michael Kemmerer as well, that he will be able to come back. John Oren from Sports Business Journal just tweeting this out moments ago. At least the number of viewers in for the Last Dance documentary last night, shown by ESPN, and episode 1 last night averaged 6.3 million viewers. Episode 2 down a little bit, 5.8 million viewers. That was across ESPN and ESPN2. And as John mentions here, numbers blew away even the most optimistic projections that ESPN had. So a lot of people tuning in last night to see that documentary, and we'll see if those trends continue as far as the next 8 episodes. There are 10 episodes altogether, I believe it is, correct?
10 hours worth, yeah.
Right.
I think you're right. And I'm not really keen on ratings. I think those are pretty good, aren't they?
Really good, yeah. They didn't come out with the ratings. That's just the viewers right there. But
yeah,
that's not bad. That's not bad, especially for what we are going through, certainly, right now. Green Bay Dustin on the text line weighing in. I know a lot of people who didn't even watch it because they were waiting for it on Netflix today. It is all over the place. ESPN, network platforms, Netflix, as Dustin says, just a lot of places, and it's going to get a lot of play, no doubt about that, going to get a lot of play out there. 351, wanted to mention this before we set sail here today, Mark, and that was the fact that yes, we can be down in the times that we have right now, without being able to visit a lot of people out there, or no people out there, basically. And you must do it from a social distance, a comfortable social distance of at least 6 feet. With that in mind, a really neat thing yesterday. You and I both know Steve Staker well. former football coach at Fredericksburg, and became the football coach at Coke College. Son is now the football coach. The Stakers, kind of the unofficial first family of Coe College. And yesterday, Steve, of course, is battling cancer. I think he's has stage 4 cancer right now. Steve and his wife live in Lisbon, and they had just a terrific, terrific outpouring yesterday through a parade that was organized and started in Mount Vernon. Went from Mount Vernon over to Lisbon and then went by the Staker home. And Steve was out in the front with his chair, with his lounger out there, taking it all in. And what a neat, neat thing for a really, really good guy.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And it was a wonderful thing that the Staker family organized, and a wonderful response. 250 cars lining up from Mount Vernon to Lisbon, the Staker home in Lisbon, and folks just extending their well wishes to Coach Staker. He's 76. Now he has gallbladder cancer, but the pictures I saw in the video, it looked like he just had a wonderful day, and just an incredible thing to come together. The folks that participated, wonderful. And, you know, there aren't many better people you're going to cross paths with in sports. And I've run across many that are equally so, and you have too, Scott. But Staker is not only a terrific Hall of Fame coach, but a great individual as well. And you mentioned one of the first families of Coe College. 5 kids have graduated from there. And, of course, you mentioned that Tyler is the head football coach there. But I hope Coach Staker, Steve, that is, had a wonderful day, and a lot of people to credit in terms of, contributing to that special afternoon yesterday.
Yes, and 0558 also with those same sentiments. A nice event Sunday for Coach Staker of Coe. And it wasn't only Coe. Other American River Conference folks I know came in. Cornell folks also there, of course, with honoring Coach Staker. And like I said, hopefully, and it did put a big smile on his face just by seeing the video, etc. And it was really, really neat to see. And even though we're not able to shake hands, pat backs, and what have you at this time, to have something like that organized and put together was just really a neat, neat story out there. And if you were not a part of it and you want to take a look at it, I know the television stations have something. There's a lot of it on Twitter, and just go take it in and see some of the video out there. It'll make you feel better today, even though we're all fighting the COVID-19 and the coronavirus, certainly.
Well, I wish that event wouldn't have needed to take place, but
exactly.
I'm glad it did.
Yeah, and to show that we're all thinking of Steve out there and the Staker family and the Coe family as well out there. 319-366-1600 as we will take our final break, and we will come back and wrap things up on a Monday edition of the program right after this.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car.
All right, 59.50.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
My agent's gonna help me.
For more coverage, visit statefarm.com.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
There may be no games.
No practices.
No high fives.
But we're all still part of a team.
And we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance.
But still checking on each other.
Helping the most vulnerable.
And supporting our heroes.
That are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused.
But the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team.
Right now.
Hashtag one team, ESPN.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home edition? Now imagine an addition on that addition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate five times the national average. That's right, five times, as represented by five times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA member FDIC.
We have Classic NFL coming your way tonight here on KGYM at 7 o'clock, 107.5, the Jim OT, 106.3 in Iowa City, as it will be the Giants and the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. We'll have it for you tonight, the replay at 7 o'clock. Speaking of the Patriots, they unveiled a new uniform today, but it's pretty much like the old one. They're a different shoulder markings, if you will, the red and blue. It's a sharp-looking uniform. They still didn't go back to, Pat or Pete the Patriot or whatever the heck he was called back in the day. A lot of people wanted that and back to the red that the Patriots had when they were in the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears. But no dice on that. And then tomorrow, the Los Angeles Chargers are going to unveil a new uniform. And if it's anything less than powder blue, they should just go back to the drawing board and get those powder blue Charger uniforms back up and running. So
couldn't agree more. The Patriots, just a very subtle change, I think. Well, you mentioned a couple stripes on each shoulder, but other than that, the helmet hasn't changed. What are they called? An alternate uniform? I don't know.
Yeah, the alternate will still be those red ones right there. All right, Mark, have a good night. We'll talk tomorrow.
You as well.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd Rommelkamp Show coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.